Hello out there in Na'ale Land. We begin our talk this year, Mitzvah Shem. As we end off this year and get ourselves prepared for the tshuva process, let us not forget that this year, as always, is Lili Nusis Rachel Leah Bas Rav Chaim Tzvia. Rachel Leah Bas Rav Chaim Tzvia, Allah Shalom. We want to thank the studio manager, Mrs. Libby Bamzer, for all of her tremendous help here in the studio. And here is our talk for tshuva. There is extremely famous mashal from the Chafetz Chaim where he said the following. He said, why is it that we have a telephone? Now, of course, Ma Bell knows we have a phone, so one person can speak to another person. But the Chafetz Chaim, who always had these special lenses of Torah, saw other reasons than a telephone. Aside from one person to communicate with another person, the telephone teaches you that what you say here can be heard there. What you say here can be heard there. You have to be aware of the fact that if you speak Lashon Hara over here, over there in Shemaim, they hear it. That's the lesson of a telephone. And why do we have a train? Well, we know a train gets you somewhere. It transports you. Chafetz Chaim found this greater symbolism also. He said, it teaches you that in 1 second you can miss the whole ride. You come a minute late, you miss the ride. Every second is precious. And why a telegram? Tell you that every word is precious, every word counts. And for everything he had a lesson. There's one mashal he doesn't give. He can't be blamed for this because he didn't know it. He wasn't familiar with it. But I think that it's the greatest mashal of all. And my inspiration here is I heard from a gentleman in Queens who suggested this to me. And I think Mr. Orbach is his name. But the reason Chafetz Chaim didn't say it is because he was not familiar with it. But it's such a good mashal. And that is that life is a credit card. What do you see from a credit card? You can get anything you want. You can get anything. But ultimately, you have to pay for it. Ultimately, you're going to have to pay. And that's a very important lesson. You have to pay eventually. In other words, you have to pay life and sustenance and health and wealth and children and pleasant neighbors. All of these things is no different than any of the commodity you have to pay for. And let's try and explain the dynamics of the transaction. We say, Zachrein l'chaim melech chafetz b'chaim v'katzvenim sefer chaim melech chafetz b'chaim. The operative word is l'ma'ancha. We seek a life. Everybody wants life. But we're entitled to this life if it's a life that is l'ma'ancha for your sake. In other words, that there's no need to go to a broker because it's sold by owner. It was on the same page if it's l'ma'ancha for God's sake. L'mancha means that it's covered by the boss. It's a company expense. It's mamish free. For example, let's say you work for a large firm and you're instructed that a client is flying in from Milwaukee. You're to take this client, wine and dine them, take them to the theater, put them in a good mood because we want to get a large contract out of this person. So you meet them at the airport and you take them out to a very fancy restaurant and you serve a lot of wine. Then you take them out to a show and the next day you also give them a tour of the city. And on the following day, they come to the office, wined and dined, and in a very good mood about the largesse of your company. The remarkable thing is at the end of the month, when you get your paycheck, you see that $7,400 have been deducted. You go to the boss, what happened? He said, I see you went to the theater, you had your shoes shined, you went to another place. I was working for the boss. I was taking the guest out. If you're working for the boss, there's no charge. But if you're doing it for yourself, you've got to pay every penny. That's l'mancha. You're working for the boss. Let's say there's a long line in Home Depot. You're waiting in line. You're waiting for 25 minutes. And then you see this worker, this fellow come by with two wagons that are filled all the way to the top. It's going to take 40 minutes just to check him out. And he goes to the front of the line. Front of the line! You're waiting here 20 minutes and he goes to the front of the line. He says, hey, buddy. Who are you cutting over here? I'm sorry, I'm the contractor for Mr. Home Depot. I'm going to the front. He's working for the boss. There's no line. No cost. Therefore, the example that Rabbi Barry Schaefer gave, if you buy a fancy treadmill because you want to be a buff and be look very attractive, it's going to cost you. But if you're doing it, you want to be healthy. You want to be healthful. There's no charge. You want to buy a beautiful dress. The chavad yantav, no charge. That's working for the boss. You want to do it to catch the eye, it's going to cost you. You have to pay for it. You want a beautiful home to perform mitzvot, to achnas zorchim, No cost. It's all for free. It's not taken away from your health and your wealth and your olam haba. But if you're doing it because you want to show off and grab the eye of others, somehow or another, God's going to make you pay for it. And it's not just the cost of the land tax and the purchase price. It's going to come away in this world, to come away in the world to come. That's not working for the boss. And how much it's going to cost you, that's a decision which you make in the sanctor sanctorium of your cranium. Do you work for the boss, or do you want to stack up the bills, and have to pay for them later? Where's my source sheet over here? So, this idea of working for the boss, it's an idea which you can find in Chovos HaLevavos. I found it in Chacham Mirsch by Rav Zissel Mikelem, and I'm going to read first in Lashon HaKodesh, and then I'll translate. V'shahaya omer tamid ad morena morena Rabbeinu Zal, Beila HaYomim, ki adam tzarech lios ish sherabim tzrichim lo. Rav Simcha Zissel, the Talmud of Yisrael Salanter, the great Musar, the author from Kelm, he used to say that a person has to be an individual that the rabbim, that the people, the multitudes need. That's the kind of person you have to be. You have to be a person that is needed by the people. You have to be indispensable to others. This is what we mean when we pray and we say, God, write us and inscribe in the book of life for your sake, God. Life. We want to have a life that is a life which is for the service of God. Not for my own gustatory needs, but rather for the service of God. Because if not, then everything you do, you could be just consume it. But and the tzimis, and the carrots that you eat, and those and the sweet food that you eat, you're eating up all your... If you're not working on behalf of God, working on behalf of the people, and working for other people, if you're just in it for yourself, then all the delicious food that you have, all the pleasures that you have, you're eating up all your reward. But if your desire is to do the will of God, all that you do is for the sake of heaven. As parnosaso enu neshav lo luma uma. Then all that you earn is not going to cost you because you're working for the boss. It's all tzarchei gavah. Now you go to the makol, you go to the grocery, people pay the grocery on credit. So comes the end of a period of time and one person has to pay 12 shekel, someone has to pay $3 and you have to pay $1,000. Hey, why? Why are you charging me $1,000? He only has to pay $3. Very simple. He took 3 yogurts. You took all this food. In other words, we're buying on credit. There's no injustice. The injustice is that you pay for what you take. And if it is that really all you're taking is very nominal, you're really working just for God, there's very little bill to pay. But if you want to eat up everything and have everything for your own desire, there's a price to pay. What is really important to you? What is your affiliation? What do you want to talk about? Chachamahu omer. What is a wise person? What they talk about. It's very unusual. It's a shocking thing. Girls, who by nature are very modest and humble, they have the shock of their lifetime the first time they date and they find a boy who's haughty and filled with hubris. He's talking about himself the whole time. Mahu omer. You tell a person about what they talk about. If a person's talking about tzaddikim, maisim, doing chesed, that says so much about them. Talking about sports stars, rock stars, that also says a lot about them. Mahu Omer. Your person are what you talk about. New York City, and in many other great cities of the United States of America, there is a sports radio network. It's in New York City, WFAN. Not that I would know, but I do know. It's in Houston, it's in Baltimore, it's in Miami, it's in Chicago, it's in Los Angeles, it's in Denver. Cities have, certainly if you have a major sports league, sports team, they have a sports radio network. I landed in LaGuardia Airport and I rented a car, put on the radio. It was the most animated discussion I've ever heard. Jerry from the Bronx, Cecile from Jersey, Larry from Westchester. Would he hit it? Could he hit it? Should he hit it? Could he hit it? Will he hit it? Could he hit it? Should he hit it? Could he hit it? I've never heard such an animated discussion. Until I discovered this game took place in 1957. So if you turn it, was But Mahu Omer, if these people, that's the most animated thing for them. Could he hit it? And the guy, it happened nearly 50 years ago. 50 years ago, and they're talking about it now, like, oh, world-shaking events. What's important to you? What do you talk about? This story we said in Na'aleh years ago, initial Na'aleh, we spoke about the Panovich Rav. Could be a story happened to Ilim Mimaist, it's not clear. I heard about it with the Panovich Rav. Rav Vilkamir was looking for a shidduch for his daughter. Now, where do you look for shidduch? The worst place to look for a shidduch is in the bar. That's hard on the liver. The best place is in yeshiva. So he goes in Beis Medrash and he asks the yeshiva, who is the best bachar you have? And he said, they're all the best. But who's the one who's like your son? They're all like my son. And who's the one who's like your only son? They're all like my only son. Very unproductive conversation. It happened then. It happens all the time. So he said, you know what? I have an idea. Go into Beis Medrash, deliver a shir, at the end ask a very piercingly analytical question, or if you can answer, you know, that one is the best. So he goes to Beis Medrash, delivers a shir, and he said, he asks a hard Rambam. Total son, no can answer. Who knows? So he gets into his wagon. And he's riding away, and a fellow comes running after him and says, Rebbe, Gefrekta Shir Rambam, he asked a hard question, what's the answer? That's my son-in-law. He doesn't know, but he wants to know, that's the one that I want. That's instructive. You go out on a date, after Pesach, you go out on a date, and you ask the boy a question, he says, I don't know. Drop him, he's not for you. He said, I don't know, I'll look into it. The boy's got potential. He knows even better, but no interest. What are you talking about? If he's concerned about it, he wants to talk about it, that says so much about a person. Says the Baal Shem Tov, why is it on Yom Kippur? Motzi Yom Kippur. We come to Yom Kippur, and pardon me, we begin Yom Kippur, and as soon as we start my riv, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Voed, we're just beginning Yom Kippur, and we start belting out, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso. Ask the Baal Shem Tov, we're just starting Yom Kippur, we're in a couple minutes, and we're screaming and shouting, Baruch Shem Kavod, why? Because this is the talk of angels. And on Yom Kippur, when we wear white, we keep our feet together, we don't eat, we don't drink, we just act angelic-like, and we're cherubic. Therefore, we're entitled to say Baruch Shem Kavod. Ask the Baal Shem Tov, if that's the case, why then, pray tell, we daven Ma'ariv Motzi Yom Kippur, why can't we say Baruch Shem Kavod out loud? I don't understand. We just started, you know that feeling coming to Yom Kippur? You ate so much, also like, you know, coming to Shul on Tisha B'Av. You ate so much, he's saying, I'll never do it again every year. You ate so much. Baruch Shem Kavod. You scream it out, but I don't get it. If you can say it out loud, because you're talking like an angel, on Yom Kippur. And then we end Yom Kippur. Baruch Shem Kavod. We say it again, we say Shema, we say Shema, Shema, Elokim. We scream out Baruch Shem Kavod. And then 5 minutes later, Davin Ma'ariv. 5 minutes later, Davin Ma'ariv. Baruch Shem Kavod. We can't say it out loud. If we could say it in the beginning of Yom Kippur, we're just 15 minutes into it. And what about 26 hours later? We still haven't eaten. We haven't drink. We didn't eat, we didn't drink. We have our, still wearing the kittel, and we're white. Why can't we say it out loud? It says the Baal Shem, because a person is where their head is. When you begin Yom Kippur, oh, I want this Yom Kippur to be good. God should forgive me. I'm a mechaper, and I should go well and have a good year. And I should be inscribed in the book of life. But most of Yom Kippur, your head is already in the food. Your head is in the food. A person's where their head is. Mahu Omer, where is the person? Your head is in the food. You don't get to say it out loud. Even though we're starting Yom Kippur, our head is in doing tshuva, they were entitled to say it out loud. Likewise, Yaakov ish tam Yoshev Oholim and Esav ish Soda. Chazal say that Esav was a very big tam tchochem. However, the fact of the matter is that no matter where he was, he was always ish Soda. Even when Esav was in the Beis Medrash, his head was out in the field. And where was Yaakov? Even when he was out in the field, his head was in the Beis Medrash. Ish tam Yoshev Oholim. Where are you? Where are you? And that's the critical question as we come into the tshuva process before Rosh Hashanah. Our cognitive assessment has to lead us somewhere. It has to move us. Many years ago, Rosh Chodesh Elul fell out on September 1st. And on that very September 1st, that Rosh Chodesh Elul, the first day we begin to blow shofar, I was asked to speak in a yeshiva in Rishon LeZion. Yeshiva is well known because of the camp that once took place there called Sde Chemed. It's a long story what I was asked to do there, but anyways, they asked me to speak. There was an American Sheva Brachas. So I traveled to Sde Chemed, and it was a blistering hot day, the first day of school and the first day of Rosh Chodesh Lon Shofar. And the only way, this will sound very ironic, the only way to get to the yeshiva was to drive through the courtyard of a public school, Beit Sefer Mamachti. And because it was the first day of school and we come during recess, it was impossible to get through. All the boys, all the girls were fraternizing, and we can't get through. No one's moving. Finally, the taxi starts honking and honking. And finally, a girl or a boy, I couldn't really tell, a boy, a he, a she, a... Whenever my wife's expecting, we always call the baby Heshi. Later it assumes its identity. So this Heshi, nowadays you can't even tell with the earrings, doesn't tell you anything. So it just flew back its mane and said, Shemana, we heard. So the driver rolled down the window and said, Zillah must be Graf Lishmoa. Chayvim gam lazuz. It's not enough just to hear. You have to move as well. And so that is the very message of the shofar. It's not enough just to hear it. It's got to move you. Uri Yishay Mishinaskam, says the Rambam. Let's read the Lashon of the Rambam, because we're going to come back to this Rambam in just a moment. The Rambam writes, this in Perek Gimel Hilchas Tshuva, Halacha Dalet. Afo pish tkiya shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeres ha-kosov, remesh yesh bo. Even though to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah is a gzera, it's a chok, we don't know the reason why. There is a hint, says the Rambam. Remesh yesh bo klomar, uri yishenim shinaschem v'nidomim hikitzu mitar demeschem. All you sleepyheads, wake up. Get out of your slumber. V'chivzu ma'aseichem, and search your ways. V'chizru b'tshuva, and go back into tshuva. And remember your Lord. V'zichru barachem. Those who forget the truth in the vagaries of time, and spend all their time in vain activities, which have no purpose, go introspect into your souls, beautiful words of the Rambam, and better your ways, and abandon the improper ways, and thoughts which are inappropriate. We're stopping that Rambam in the middle. Everybody says that they want to live. I have to die because I want to live. What can be more important than life? Rav Verlovsky tells a story. He went to a yeshiva where boys were at risk. And he asked the boys, what do you like to do the most? And they said, we love to sleep. He said, you know what? You're going to love death. Because sleep is just 1/60th. That's nothing, but you're going to... Sleep is nothing. Wait till you get the real thing. You'll love death. And it's this time of year, every year, right around Rosh Hashanah time, they change the clock, and everybody has the same moronic, imbecilic, idiotic reaction. Say, yay, another hour of sleep. What should you be doing with time? Doing something productive with it, not using for sleep. What could be less important than sleep? I'm giving you time, it should be lemancha. Getting up early to say slichus, getting up to work early for the boss. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Torah is acquired in 48 ways. One of them is b'miut shena, by diminishing the amount of sleep which you have. It says the Medrash Shmuel in that Mishnah, ki kasher ha'adam yashen hu nechaz b'ilana demusa. When a person sleeps, they are grabbing on, clasping to the tree of death. Ki yashena echaz mishishin b'misa, because sleep is 1/60th of death. But Torah hi ilana dechayi, but Torah is a tree of life. For as we say, the tree, Torah is a tree of life for those who grab onto it. And people grab onto sleep, they want to sleep, they're taking the wrong thing, they're leaving life and grabbing death. If a person loves sleep and he grabs onto it, then he will never be able to grab onto the tree of life. And that's what the Pasuk says. A person should never be so foolish to grab onto unimportant things like sleep, as a person will perish. So says the Medrash Shmuel. Miut Shein, it's one of the ways of acquiring Torah. So people are yelling, yay, another hour of sleep. There's flexible, what is it, Mahu Omer? You tell a person they're excited about another hour of sleep, you know what's important to them. Sleeping could be is very unimportant. You need to have a minimal amount of sleep, and I'm not telling you anything new. But more than that, thoroughly inappropriate. If you want a life of Torah, you want a life of productiveness, you're going to waste it and squander it on sleep. Then you grab onto death. This is not the bathwater instead of the baby. This is worse. It took death when you could have taken life. By the way, it also says in Dvarim, it says in Nitzavim, Ves levav zarecha. So the Baal Tirim says, these are the Rashi Tevos, Es levav zarecha, Rashi Tevos Elo. And I quote the Baal Tirim. And that's why you have to get up early. You're telling God I want life, then show God life has meaning by not squandering it on sleep, but get up early and do something productive. Pray to God, God should spare me, should life that be productive. On Rosh Hashanah, when your life is being determined, you don't take a nap because it's incongruous. It's incongruous. On the day, can you imagine a person is on trial for his life? And he just puts his head down and goes, that's not appropriate. If your life is on trial, you don't go to sleep now. Anytime you have to be awake and alert, this is the time. Right, now it's incongruous to go to sleep. You go on a trip to Disneyland. You don't go to sleep. What, you're going to wake up at 11:30 in the morning? You're going to sleep in? No. You have a day's pass. You want to hop and everything, get the whole Disney experience. You don't waste time. You're going on a ski trip, and all of a sudden at 4:30 in the morning, the guy can never get up. At 4:30 in the morning, he's outside ready to go on a ski trip. He doesn't want to miss out. He wants to get onto the slopes early, get a full day of skiing. Likewise, we're talking life. Life is important. Don't squander on sleep. To show God that life has meaning. I want to work for the boss. My time should be productive. Mamamcha. We have to be steeped in the clear that we want to work for the boss. The Medrash makes fun of us. The Medrash says that it says in... Avinu Malkeinu, God gives life a sustenance. God raise up our horn over our enemies, provide us with health and sustenance. One thing after another, like as if God is a great sugar daddy, give us this, give us that. Now the fact of the matter is that the onomatopoeias in Israel are different than the onomatopoeias in America. In other words, if an American dog would come to Israel, no one would understand his accent. And Israel dogs go hav hav and ruf, and Israel dogs go hav hav. As in America, they go bow wow and ruff ruff. They wouldn't manage. So just like roosters in America go cock-a-doodle-doo, and in Israel they go kukuriku. So there's an accent. There's a problem. So the fact of the matter is, have, have, the way dogs go in Israel, is Aramaic for give. Give, give. So the Medrash makes fun of us. We say, Avinu Malkeinu, God, give us this, give us this, give us this. Give us this, give us this, give us this. So he says, we sound like a pack of dogs. Have, have, give, 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 like a pack of dogs. Give. So how can we have dignity? We say, give, give, give. And the answer is, lemancha, like we said in the beginning. So, God, give us life, and lemancha should be for your sake. What does that mean? I want to serve you, O Lord. I'm a teacher of Torah. If I have laryngitis, I cannot convey your words. If we get involved in the war, all our resources go to defending ourselves. We can't study your Torah. Lemancha. How can we have dignity? How do we not ask like a pack of dogs? Give me this, give me this, give me this. Give me this so that I can serve you. It's lemancha. I want this, but I want it for your sake. I want to work for the boss on the boss's account. That's the kind of life I want. All the things that we desire, children, a good shidduch, marriage, sustenance, all this should be lemancha. We should have zuchuyos to be zikuya rabim. If you're familiar with cross-level marketing, or the Amway method, the way it works is like this. If I sell a box of detergent, I make $2. If I get someone to sell it for me, I make $1.50. If I get someone to sell it for my agent, if someone sells it for my agent, who then subsequently sells it for me, who then sells it for me, if I have someone working on my behalf, so I make on everything he sells $1.50. And then he gets someone to work for him, and I get someone for him, I'm getting a cut in everything. I'm always getting a cut. Zikra Rabin means... if you set emotion into action, you set someone up in life, you put someone on the proper path, then every mitzvah which they do, you have a share in. You're getting a part of it. That's zikar rabim. That's working for the boss. That, I think, by the way, is the simcha of a yard site. And we don't make a big deal about this, but the Hasidim certainly do. On a yard site, they have a suda, and they dance. What's the big simcha of a yard site, Rasha? Think of it like this. And I think about this often, actually. Rashi in his lifetime wrote a parish on Chumash, and on Navi, on the Ksuvim, and on Shas. Now, today, we wouldn't be able to move left or right without Rashi. He teaches us everything we know. That was in his lifetime. And now comes his yahrzeit, and every year on the yahrzeit, the person is judged again for what they accomplished in their lifetime and what has been accomplished posthumously because of what they did in their lifetime. And every year on Rashi's yahrzeit, he goes, light years, higher and higher in Shemayim. Because we're getting benefiting so much from what he did, he's still going higher and higher because of that. That's the value. That's why they celebrate on the yard site. Because in Shemayim, they're going higher. That's when you're working for the boss. People are still benefiting from it. Before Ne'ilah, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berdichev would make a deal with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Say like this. Let's make a deal, he says. Rabbanu Shlailam, Namamachan, and God, let's make a deal. I will give you my sins, transgressions, and errors. And you will give me children, life, and sustenance. That's the deal he's made. You take sin, I'll give you my sins, you give me children. I give you my errors, you give me wealth. Let's make a deal. I'll give you this, you give me that. The Grechen sagen, their God is a God. The Greeks say the God is a Lord. And ich sage, nein, but I disagree. And the Romans sagen, their God is a God. And the Romans say their God is a God. The God is a Lord. And ich sage, nein, but I disagree. And the Araber sagen, their God is a God. And the Arabs say their God is a Lord. And ich sage, nein, but I disagree. And the Russische sagen, is not a God. And the Russians say there is no God. Aber ich, but I. And you hear Sasha say, Iskadal, Iskadash, Mei Rabbi, ay, 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 ay. Magnify and exalt be your holy name. That's what we're saying. We go into Neil, let's make a deal. God, take away all these inappropriate things. I want to show it to you. I want to extol your name, glorify your name. I want to show it to you that I'm working for the boss. Give me a year where I can do tshuva before you and show that my efforts are for you. Therefore, I will not eat up my reward. On the contrary, I'll be working for you, and all the reward will be coming to me because I'm working for. We're all working for the same team. That's yiskadal v'yiskadash. That's working lamancha. That's a credit card. Instead of everything paying up at the end, we have to pay great debt. On the contrary, we at the end, we're paying. There's no charge. It all goes in the boss. And if this is our attitude, then al zeh nemar, we can apply the words of American Express, don't leave home without it. Don't leave home without it. Don't leave home without this perspective. The perspective is that the mashal of the credit card. Every pleasure which I have is going to cost me, unless I'm working lamancha. And that's our earnest tefillah. Zachareinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chasveinu b'seir b'chaim, lamancha l'kim chaim. I know I want life. But I don't want life just of respiratory functioning. I want it to be a life of lamancha. I'm working for the boss. If it's working for the boss, there's no charge because we're all working for the same team. There's no expense. We should all be blessed with a very, very sweet year.